I just want to talk for a few minutes about love. Obviously, the theme of VBS, a very important concept in scriptures. There was an article entitled, What is Love? From a Kid's Point of View. Listen to what some kids said. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time. Even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You know that your name is safe in their mouth. Love is when someone hurts you and you get so mad, but you don't yell at them because you know it would hurt their feelings. Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well. And the last one, love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all day. So that's some perspectives on love from kids. The Bible does talk a lot about love, as most of you know. From the very beginning in Genesis all the way through, one of the main themes is God's passionate love for his human race that he created, and love for people, and wanting people to experience his love in their life, and then in turn have that love turn around and change them to where they turn around and love people around them. Jesus was asked a very profound question when he was walking this planet. Of all the commands in the Old Testament, there's 600 plus of them, what's the most important command? And most of you know what he said. He said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then turn around and love other people. So clearly love is a dominant theme in revealing who God is and his heart and what he's all about when it comes to his relationship with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a text that's in a section of the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians was written by Paul to a group of Christians in the city of Corinth. And in 13 falls in a section of that book where Paul is talking about the Christians in Corinth. He's writing to them and trying to help them understand some misconceptions they have about spiritual gifts and the use of gifts in ministering to one another. Their misconception was they thought that the spiritual gifts were the most important indicator of your spiritual life, of your spiritual maturity, of how close you were to God. They thought that the spiritual gifts were at the top of the priority. And so in the midst of explaining some of this, he stops and he says, as I read earlier, he says, let me show you a more important truth. What is it? 1 Corinthians 13, love. And he goes on and talks about love. So the Bible is very clear about this quality of love being a dominant priority for our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. And how we interact with one another needs to be dominated by this quality of love, as the kids sang about. But the Bible also, the world also talks a lot about love. The problem is the world's communication about love, the world's understanding of love is not the same as God. So what I want to do, I gave you a very brief outline for you who are not used to Sunday mornings and my approach. I usually provide an outline. This is really a short one, isn't it? Yeah. So be thankful for that. Here's the principle, one of the principles, the first one I want you to see about love, the difference between the world's love and God's love. Christian love, the followers of Jesus, as 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about, Christian love is rooted and grounded in God himself. I Googled the word love this week. Guess how many websites there are when you Google the word love? 1,770,000,000. So here's some of them. ilovedogs.com, ilovecats.com, although that was talking about spraying and neutering them. ilovecheese.com, ilovelucy.com, who doesn't love Lucy, you know? trueromancedatingservice.com, lovetest.com, watchmatchmaker.com, and then my favorite, ready for this? thelovecalculator.com. Now, on that site, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to enter your first name and your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever their name, and it will calculate the odds of that relationship lasting. So I put in my name and my wife's name, Karen, and guess what our odds of lasting are? 37%. After 30-some years, I guess there's just no hope. So anyway, that's the love calculator. The interesting thing about this is that almost all of the sites and the concepts are all about human love to animals or to each other. There's a complete absence of God in the concept. And yet in the Bible, look what it says in your outline in 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. He's the originator of it. He's the creator of it. His heart's full of it. And until a person, you or I or anybody, grasps and experiences God's love in our life and responds to that love and then turns around and starts giving that love out to others, that's when a life is truly transformed. That's when we really experience a God type of love. The world tends to think of love as just between two human beings. That back in the 60s, there was this huge movement. Remember the 60s? Some of you younger people go, the 60s? Boy, we're talking, you know, I know it was a long time ago. But back in the 60s, there was this huge movement in music in particular to talk a lot about love. I Googled love in music, and there are just millions of songs about love. One of the ones in the 60s was this: what the world needs now is love, sweet love, right? It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Then the Beatles sang a song, All You Need Is, All You Need It. Oh, we won't sing that, but, you know. The human heart desperately wants love. The weakness, the downside, the problem is most people in the world are looking for it only at this level with other human beings. And it just kind of unravels when that's the basis of it versus the basis of God. So Christian love is such a foundation stone. That's what the Bible's talking about. A God-directed, a God-provided, a God-type love. Second principle I want to see is this. Christian love grows deeper over time. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient and love never fails. Love is not in a hurry. Years from now, a God type of love, a Christian, Christ-centered type of love, doesn't diminish, it grows. The world's type of love diminishes over time. In fact, the world, when they talk about love, they talk about how it just happens. It's like falling off a bike. You know, it just happens. You can't help yourself. There's a song from way back again. I'm tapping way back in the dark ages. Hello, I love you. Would you tell me your name? Isn't that interesting? You know, I don't know you. I've never met you, but I love you, you know, kind of thing. That's infatuation, isn't it? It's not really the kind of love we're talking about, but a lot of love in the world is based on that kind of thing. I ran across this, a description of the five stages of a marital cold. Ready for this? Your spouse gets a cold. First year of marriage, your response. Darling, I'm really concerned about this cold of yours. Rest is the best thing, so why don't you go to bed and take it easy, and I'll call the doctor and see what we need to do. Second year of marriage, your spouse gets a cold. Honey, I'm concerned about this cold you have. Why don't you go to bed and get a good rest? Oh, by the way, do we have any chicken soup in the house? Third year of marriage, your spouse gets a cold. Honey, you ought to take better care of yourself. As soon as you can, I think you should get some rest. Fourth year of marriage, your spouse gets a cold. Honey, why don't you gargle with something to kill those germs? And the fifth year of marriage, your spouse gets a cold. Honey, please don't sneeze on me or breathe on me. I might get sick. That love diminishes over time. Yet Christian love doesn't diminish. God-centered love, God's type of love, doesn't actually diminish. It grows. Third principle I want you to see is Christian love has strength of character. It's not this wishy-washy, milquetoast kind of stuff. It has strength of character. Paul says that this kind of love always perseveres. And also says it rejoices in the truth. In other words, it doesn't give up easily or quickly when things go tough. Things don't go according to plan, it hangs in there. When I was in college, there was a couple in our church that, I forget their names, but they were celebrating their 70th wedding anniversary. They've been married a very long time, and they were elderly, obviously. And I remember they asked them some questions about what they contribute their success of being married so long. And typical guy, the husband says, "We just decided not to get divorced." And his point was well taken, that in the rocky road of marriage, ups and downs, God's type of love says, we're still going to hang in there. I'm not just going to give up to the best of my ability. And that's the kind of love we're talking about. It also faces the truth about things. It doesn't put its head in the sand. Love doesn't pretend things that aren't real and aren't there as far as truth. I love peanut cartoons. And Linus and Lucy, now Lucy is Linus's older sister, and Linus says to Lucy, Linus says, Lucy, I'm going to be a doctor. Lucy says, a doctor? How can you be a doctor? You don't even love mankind. Linus replies, I do too love mankind. It's people I can't stand. Thinking he's a face of truth there a little bit. The good news is God's love demonstrated at two levels, God's judgment and God's love. The good news is that we confront the truth that we all have sin, and as a result of the sin, we all deserve the judgment of a holy, almighty God. And then the good news says, but because of God's love, I can be rescued from that judgment. That's the good news. It's love and truth and love in truth. Third, last one I want you to see is this. Christian love is self-denying. That's what Paul says right in the text in 1 Corinthians. It is not self-seeking. We heard the kids sing about that. And in several parts of Paul's list describing love, he says things that fit into this category. Not envious, not boastful, not proud, doesn't keep record of wrongs. It's not about self. It's not self-seeking. The world, however, tends to skew that. The world tends to look at love as getting whatever you can out of a relationship, or at least at a minimum, mutual. We both, 50-50, we both get what we need out of this relationship. And then when we don't get what we need, maybe we bail. And the world will say, hey, if you're not happy and things are tough and they're not giving you what you need, even though you're trying to give them what they need, then, you know, you need to take care of yourself. And that's the thinking. But the love of God, as we all know, or most of us know, is different than that. An illustration of this is a guy named Dave who's been trying to teach his family and his children about God's love. His 8-year-old daughter Helen and his 5-year-old son Brandon, they went to the mall. When he pulled up, there was a big sign that says petting zoo. And of course, the kids got real excited and asked Daddy if they could go. And he said, okay, he's got to run into Sears and get a few things. He said, okay, here's a quarter apiece. Go enjoy the petting zoo. And they took off. A few minutes later, he's in Sears, and here comes his daughter, Helen. Kind of a sad look on her face. And she says to her dad, Daddy, it cost 50 cents, so I gave Brandon my quarter. Now, then she repeats the family motto. The family motto that their dad had been trying to teach them. Love in action. So, what do you think the dad did? Well, he didn't do what you might think he would do. He finished his shopping, and he and Helen went back and watched Brandon pet the animals in the petting zoo. Of course, Dad had another 50 cents for Helen, but Helen never asked for it. What was the lesson? Helen was learning the lesson that love in action is costly. It is not self-seeking. It is not self-rewarding. There is a price to be paid for love in action. For God's kind of love is expensive. You're accruing something to somebody else's account, not necessarily to your account. It's love that gives, not love that grabs. There's a book that was written years ago called Love is a Verb, and that's the same idea. That biblical love is actions. It's not just a concept. And this is what Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians 13. It's how you treat one another. In the context of 1 Corinthians 13, that God's love expressed out through you to those around you. Now, there's not much you can do about this. Everybody around you knows when you've been in a certain place in Oklahoma. I've only driven through it. Because in a certain area of Oklahoma, they have red dirt. Anybody been to Oklahoma and the red dirt? I've only driven, never got out, never had it impact my clothing or my shoes or anything. It's from the iron in the soil, it turns it red. Here's a road of red dirt, if you will. And there's a lot of those in this area of Oklahoma. This red dirt compacts, it's sticky. It kind of impacts everything around. It makes everything kind of have a red hue to it. And especially when it's wet, it's like just really hard to get rid of. And this is an example of wet. Now look at the car picture. This is what happens to cars that drive through red dirt. One thing I was reading about this said that if you go to the city, everybody there knows that you're from that region because your shoes have a red tint to them. If you have brand new shoes, they know you aren't from there, if they're nice and clean. And the reverse is true. And he said it's kind of a demarcation point. You're immediately recognized as someone from that area of Oklahoma if you have shoes that have a tint of red in them. And they say, you're not from around here, are you? You're from this part of Oklahoma. Well, Christian love is kind of the same way. This God kind of love sticks when it's active, when we allow it to flow through us. The world's going to see this kind of self-sacrificing, grace-filled love and kind of say, this is different. You're really not from around here, are you? You're from a different place, a place where the love of God is permeating your heart and soul. And quite frankly, that's one of the desires of my heart for our church family. I think it's easy for all of us to kind of come to church and spend an hour here, 2 hours here, or 3 hours here, whatever it is, and kind of interact some and then go away and forget that God has called us as a church family to love one another. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about. When you come together, demonstrate this quality of love for one another. Let it stick. Treat each other with the description of 1 Corinthians 13. When we come together and when we worship and when we eat lunch together. My hope for the next few weeks is we come together with one service and then we go eat lunch together, or most of us go eat lunch together, that we will be able to experience this in a fresh new way, getting to know a few other people and just expressing love. My hope is that when you come to this service every Sunday morning, you come with this idea of not just what can I receive, but what can I give to those around me, to demonstrate this quality of love that God has called us to. And so that's our challenge for us. So when I ask you to sit in a different location, that's my attempt to say, hey, get out of your comfort zone just a little bit and be willing to meet someone else here this morning other than in your normal spot. And so I'm going to ask you to do that next week too. Sit in a different location. Maybe an actual different pew. That would be amazing, you know, just to kind of, or maybe the other side of the room, whatever it might be. Because what we want to do is experience together the quality God has taught us to love one another. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to spend some time in worship in closing, and then most of us are going to go eat lunch, and I will give you some instructions about that before we exit the sanctuary. So let's pray right now. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you so much for this concept of 1 Corinthians 13. My desire for all of us is that it will stick, that it will be part of our heart and soul, and that it will ooze out to others, that people will look at us and say, you know, in a sense, you're different. You're not from around here because of the love of Christ that just is permeating our hearts and souls. So I pray that for all of us, that can be the case for us, and you help us with that as we fellowship together every Sunday, and then we take that with us throughout the week, and to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, the love of Christ will flow out from us. In Jesus' name, amen.